Before we start the interview, there's a very short video that Alfred Schaefer in Germany sent to Alex Linda and myself after we did the show. It's about Donald Trump. Enjoy.
I recommend take the vaccines. I did it. It's good. Take the vaccines.
We have to get the people of our country, of this country, to love Israel more. I have to tell you that. We have to do it. We have to get them to love Israel more. They don't love Israel enough. You know that. You know that.
Hello, and welcome to Team White. And today we've got a true tricontinental report. We've got Alfred Schaefer in Germany covering Europe. We've got Jan, as always, in South Africa. And we've got me here in Missouri covering North America. Now, let's get into it. And in the USA, I'll just start off with a brief bit about the USA. We've had a presidential election. What's the takeaway for whites here? In my opinion, it's that they've regularized stealing elections. And, you know, the first time there's a bunch of ruckus, and then, you know, they try to fight it. And then Trump couldn't even get lawyers to fight for him in the individual states that were affected. And now, you know, few years later, it's they apparently stole it from this woman out in Arizona who was a big Trump supporter and very wing. I mean, we know that's still weak, but just the continual step-by-step degradation and decline and fall of the United States into a place with no standards, no accountability. Citizens and criminals have basically been reversed. Normal white people who work and earn money are persecuted and have no representation. So it's business as usual in the United States. Alfred, what's going on in Germany and Europe these days that you've seen that's remarkable?
Well, what's remarkable now is the receptivity of ever more people to uncomfortable truths, which they would have barked at and chased away kind of thing before. So this is the biological response that we're now seeing, and we're also expecting Germans in large numbers feeling hunger this winter as they can no longer afford the inflationary prices that we're experiencing now. And this is just the beginning. I mean, like the heating bills are going up in a very draconian fashion, as well as everything else. And so many of the small businesses and so forth have been put out of business by this corona lie, COVID scamdemic. And the repercussions of this scamdemic, the repercussions are just starting to sort of come through. See, at the beginning, yeah, when people lose their normal accustomed way of life, you don't hear anything from them at first because they're kind of like just licking their wounds, not really comprehending or understanding what's going on. But then as they use up their saved resources and they see what's going on, that's when they start to feel real pain. And the Germans are not people that go out and start, you know, crying that they need this or that. They'd rather suffer in quiet. It's all the invaders. They'll just demand to be fed, and they want this, they want that. So this is a real showdown now. People are beginning to see and understand that this is now the continuation of the genocide that the Jews had planned for the Germans back in, well, before 1945. And they actually did want to do it in 1945, but they backed down when they realized that we could actually still squeeze a lot of stuff out of the Germans. And we saw that over the past 75, 80 years, you know, what that looks like, the hollow hoax, you know, that, I mean, the Germans paid, countless billions or trillions to the Jewish state of Israel and all the Jews worldwide. They just had to whine the world the word Holocaust, and they could pick up their free money.
Yeah. And these Jews who are already living off the American taxpayer, and did I say last time they got like free universal health care there, they got free college off us. And on top of that, they milked literally tens of billions, if not hundreds, if not a trillion, out of Germany since then with no signs of stopping.
Oh, no, they don't stop. Well, that's why they had to do this COVID scam now, because now we have all our infrastructure geared up to milk us for handing huge amounts of money to the pharmaceutical companies for producing this rat poison. And the European Union, in Brussels is the new, what used to be in Moscow, the Soviet Union kind of thing, that was moved to Brussels. And you got people like von der Leyen, this Jew or German bitch there, who's I don't know what her role is exactly in Brussels, but she I think she ordered from these pharmaceutical companies enough vaccines so every single European can get 10 shots. You know, so these are billions and billions of euros and dollars that are being paid out for rat poison to kill us. I mean, when the government is doing these sorts of things with our tax, like the taxpayers' money, that is worse than worthless, because worthless, okay, that'd be neutral, but this is actually a absolute negative in the extreme when your tax money goes for the rat poison that kills you. I mean, you don't get any obscene and grotesque than that.
Yeah, and what I find interesting from the perspective of America is basically the people promoting this rat poison, as you call it, have retracted every single one of their claims. And the sole little tiny island they're left on, well, it'll be worse if you catch this horrible disease. It doesn't kill anybody if you don't have this rat poison floating in your veins. And every other thing. And yet, at the same time, they continue still to push it completely and buy it and give out this large amount of money to these profiteering pharmaceutical companies. It's really beyond ridiculous. The public even kind of at this point is aware that, yeah, they just lied about it. And if you took it, you were kind of a sucker. And some people even on our side don't actually believe that and get angry about it. But I tell them, look, this stuff is not done. It's just getting started. And I don't just mean them promoting the vaccine. I mean the danger of the vaccine that's already in your body. I'm like, if you got one shot, for Christ's sakes, don't get a second. It gets worse and worse. And they are covering up the reaction to it. And even the small bit that comes through, and it's called VAERS, the Adverse Events Reporting System, that makes it very hard to put in reports. Even that shows miscarriages, stillborn, all kinds of problems with birth, all kinds of excessive deaths. So this is something you absolutely do not want.
Yeah, you know, and like you're just saying now that you're getting, there's different messages coming from the regime. On the one side, they're still pushing this stuff. On the other side, they're trying to say, oh, we need to forgive and forget and talk about amnesty and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, we're going, these perpetrators will be judged by the same standards with which they were persecuting us and still are persecuting us just for asking questions. I mean, when you put a hollow hoax denier into prison, whether they're 100 years old or not, makes no difference. Well, this is the level of empathy they can expect. And what you're saying that the different signals shows us that they are not a monolithic homogenous entity or something.
Maybe, but I think they are. It's something to do with lying. Like lying used to be, like you didn't want to have a reputation for being a liar, but now lying is essentially seen as just another tool in your kit to try to affect the result you want, and that has no moral implications at all. So they with the if you get our shot, then you can't get the disease. They walk that back. Oh, if you get our shot, you can't pass it on to others. Oh, they retracted that too. So but there's never any embarrassment or shame or saying, well, you know what, maybe I should shut up because I said these things and I was wrong. Zero shame. So the fool you flatter is the fool you become. When you admire something, even if you're faking it, you grow up to be that same thing. And now everybody is a goddamn Jew because they lie all the time and they feel absolutely no shame about it. And the only thing that concerns them is this lie effective? The minute they see it's not effective, they move on to the next lie. And the first lie is all forgotten about. And that is exactly how it is. So out of one hand, they'll finally admit, oh, yeah, or some people will at least point it out. It's not like they harp on it. Oh, yeah, I guess you actually can pass it on. And what I said 6 months ago no longer obtains. But they're still promoting this vaccine that doesn't do anything except endanger you. Every day on the radio, if you're in the car at the right time, you can hear them promoting it. So
yeah,
there's no accountability. There's no honesty. But even worse than that, even deeper than that, there's not even any respect for those things anymore. We are that thoroughly Jewed in our minds.
Yeah. You know, with them trying to make excuses this way or that way, at the end of the day, the naked truth will come out that all of this stuff with masks and social distancing and all that other stuff was nothing more than the deception to make people believe that these kill shots are actually for their health. This has been the agenda has been a genocide of primarily the white people, actually all civilized people, to enslave them permanently for the Jew. This is an onslaught against all of humanity and the other races. You know, we got our race, the white race, and then even all the other races. Even they are targeted. All the races are targeted, and this is never in human history on this planet has there been a more grotesque onslaught against our own species than what we see now. And if we look at it from the perspective of, let's just say we were an alien or something looking down on planet Earth, then this entire construct is actually like a disease. And every disease will trigger a biological response. And this is the biological response that is now in the making, coming up. And we can ignore those, our opponents who are continuing to lie, and focus only on how we get our people to understand the full magnitude of this, and that this is not a game. This is not a participator sport. This is, this is not a spectator sport. This is you have to do something. Every single person will be judged by what they did or did not do during these times that we are experiencing right now.
Yeah, I mean, I've even been surprised at some people who, I guess if you work for a corporation, you're under pressures that people who are independent don't see. But still, if you don't see the parallel between them integrating, notice how they, making full or making right or making perfect, they use a term for that, to stick blacks in your neighborhood. If you don't see the parallel there between them covering up what I've called hush crimes, blacks against whites, and sticking shit in your veins and calling it medicine, I mean, you're nuts. It's the same people, the same agenda, the same patterns on every level. So it all, if you understand racialism in Jews, you should have no trouble at all understanding this fake vaccine garbage that's being foisted on you to damage your body the way they go after and try to damage your race, your racial body as a whole. They also try to damage you individually as a person, and they try to damage your mind with TV, your body with the syringes, and your entire nation with open borders. It's all the same thing, injecting poisons into you, destroying the world you want to live in and the kind of people you want to live around. And yeah, we have to get as many people woken to this as possible.
Absolutely. And actually, what we're already seeing now is that anybody who has, let's say, been slow to let it be known that they are starting to understand, once they will all be coming to our side in droves. And the longer that somebody waits before they figure it out, the higher the price is that they will be more than eager to pay to prove that they are worthy of being on our side. And this is where the betrayal is no longer against us. The betrayal is then on the other side against those people who are still committing high treason by continuing with this agenda. And that's all part of a biological reaction, biological response against this. Because all the factors that had been working against us have now turned and are actually in our favor. You can see the same patterns through all of history. And at the end of these cycles, it's always the expulsion of the Jews. And this process has gone through over 1,000 times that we know of, like documented times of expulsions of the Jews. So it's nothing new. The only thing that's really new is the absolute magnitude of this. And so the response will be similar. The magnitude of this response will put everything in the shadows that had ever come before, especially when we realize that the Jews, when they set out this agenda over 100 years ago, thinking that with 3 world wars, they can finally ascend the throne of world domination and it'll be theirs for 10,000 years. I mean, this is documented. We have this on paper. And when we truly grasp what their agenda was, I'm convinced that this time around, this is their final act. They will have not a chance. And neither will the Negroes, for example, in taking over our lands, because whatever crimes they now commit as they set off in their, to sort of conquer us, this will create images that will provide the motivation for us and our stragglers kind of thing to get on their feet and start to understand what's going on. And we become completely different entities once we understand what's going on. I mean, and I tell you, I just this last weekend, I was in East Germany, the former communist, part, and I met some people, and including very, very young people who have a very clear understanding of what's going on. You know, one guy was only like 17 years old. Another guy was like 22 years old. And these people have absolute clear understanding of what's going on. That's new. And these people are, of course, they're talking with other people. Everyone's talking with everybody now.
Would you say in overall there's a greater understanding in East Germany than in West?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. You see, in the East, in the communist part, they were allowed to keep more of their cultural roots kind of thing, because we in the West had been duped into believing that we are so superior because we had higher material wealth kind of thing. And I know when I came to Germany in 1985 and started working here for IBM in Munich, and I was of the mindset back then, because that was before the Iron Curtain came down, I was firmly convinced, this was just the mindset that was programmed into me, was, oh yeah, well, on the other side, that's the communists and they're kind of a bit dumber kind of thing. And we didn't really understand what the background of all this, and all this understanding diagnosing what actually was the case and is now the case, that is something that we only figured out in very recent times. And most of the people who really understand this well do actually come from the former East, and they're not as docile as in the West now, and not so the worst of the worst of the politically correct, if you want to call them that, are all in the West, basically.
Yeah, okay. Jan, you got any thoughts?
Yeah, you guys touch on a lot of very interesting things there, so many things. I almost will struggle to hit you with all the comments. Quick one. Alfred, the longer this stuff... In talking about whites as a biological entity, I often think about things that both you and Alex have spoken about, biological response, Jews as parasites, and I see humans as just normal animals, and the animal as a group will behave in a certain way. and our DNA. I actually did a video that I included the title Racial Telepathy. And I said that whites, because our DNA is similar and our minds are similar, our perceptions will be similar. And even if we're living on different continents, we will see and perceive things in a very similar way. And the suppression of the white biological response. Somebody else also had a blog where they were writing, another National Socialist, where they spoke about the biological response of whites to all these different things, to blacks, to murder, to Jews, to all these chaotic things that makes all whites crazy. And another thing that I've come across in South Africa, and I'm hearing it from America, is whites who want to commit suicide in droves. They can't take it anymore. They want to kill themselves, and I'm totally opposed to that. Totally opposed to that. Whites should not be killing themselves. If you're going to be doing any dying, make sure you take some of the enemy with you. Do it the old way. But I just want to say this, that for decades and decades, the white biological response in America, in Africa, here in South Africa, in Europe, the natural white response where whites want to kill people, that response has been shoved down and crushed down again and again and again for decades. And Jews are currently pushing our responses down and doing, like in 2017, when those guys with Andrew Anglin and all those guys who did that thing in America, can't remember what it was, in 2017, and you remember people were arrested and all that kind of thing. And then they break down the white right, etc. Well, the more they keep hammering us down and breaking us down, whenever we stand up with a genuine complaint, it's like a boiler. And when this baby blows one day, you're going to see the most killing in the history of the world. And make no mistake, in South Africa, the blood will flow. You know, in Russia, the Bolshevik Revolution, Jews stirred up that thing for over 100 years. And in South Africa, people have been stirring up the black-white thing for over 100 years. When this baby blows, you're going to see some killing. And I think...
Well, we have to just clean up our thinking. And hey, we need to quit letting these zany ideas into our mind that mixing all kinds of different people together can work, and calling that morality. It doesn't work. The morality comes from Jews. It's for their purpose, not ours. We need nations formed out of one kind of people, right? And that's all it is, and accepting rationality and actual biology instead of rejecting them and claiming they're immoral, like the weakest sort of mind, the general Christian way of looking at it. It doesn't work. Biology is a real thing. We don't want to live around these blacks, and we use our mind to understand that, yeah, it's Jews forcing them among us and bringing them in and telling us that they're our moral superiors and we have to pay for their lives. And that's exactly what's been going on for decades, and then crushing anyone who tries to come out and lead against it. This must be overcome.
I really like your term, Jan, when you said racial telepathy, and that's the biological component, you know, because you can, once you overcome this indoctrination and once you stop allowing yourself to be triggered with these control trigger words and so forth, get over the, you know, understand just the reality that we're living in. That's where these things come into play. And racial telepathy, I mean, I notice it myself, how I look at white faces and I have a completely different compassion and love for these white faces than I ever had before. And I notice my own inner reaction when I see here in the town I'm living, when I see one of these invaders, obvious invaders, whether it's a woman with her little, you know, little wagon with her little, mini invaders. I mean, I cringe. I say, holy fuck. You know, I start cringing and I realize, oh my God, when we have come out of this indoctrinated state, which has made us completely sick and completely paralyzed us, once we come out of that, then these instinctive responses like the ones I'm feeling when I see these people now on our territory, they will come to the fore and nothing can stop it. They will have a short window of opportunity to go to the airport and fly home. We'll even help them. We'll even take them out there. And any resistance will soon be met with something which will absolutely clearly convince all the others to quickly hightail it out of here before they meet the same fate. That is what's coming. And I'll tell you, when I see the pictures, Jan, you sent, put on your page there before with these blacks, and they're saying, you know, oh, if you see nice land, take it from the whites and this and that, and blaming the white, you know, bad whitey for everything. I mean, I've seen other reports from Zimbabwe or Rhodesia where the blacks are begging the whites to come back because they're so bankrupt and nothing is working anymore. And so, you know, it's like having the monkeys taking over the, you know,
yeah, the store. Yeah, I mean, they can't even farm or keep the electricity going.
No, they can't do anything. Nothing. It's nothing.
And
all of
we actually have a charitable cause in the U.S. to get water for these Africans, but they never. Sometimes white people amaze me. They never step back and look. You have to supply them with water. Every other animal in the world can find water for itself. I mean, why would you want to support that? It's insane.
Alex, that just makes me crazy. When I see the bullshit that they ask you people outside of Africa to help the blacks with, you don't understand. This continent is insanely awesome. You won't believe the stuff is here. If you die in Africa, it's because you are totally worthless. You are totally worthless. The rain falls out the sky. There are rivers like you cannot believe. Africa's got more hydroelectric power than any place on earth. The potential of Africa is that is a whole other topic by itself.
And you told me once there's almost like two growing seasons where you are.
Alex, there's so much of everything. You know, my one sister always used to make an interesting remark, and I urge all of you guys to take a look at this. My sister used to say to me, you know, Jan, have you noticed the lovely, beautiful places where blacks live? And go and look at pictures of blacks everywhere. They are living on beaches. They are living in places where there's rain almost every day. The place is verdant and green. You don't see blacks. It's hardly, there are very, very few blacks who live in semi-arid or desert areas. In South Africa, the semi-arid and desert areas are all occupied by white farmers. Blacks occupy the best places. Just to give you an idea, just the other day, Alex, I've been using Uber a little bit recently, and when I use Uber and the drivers take me on short trips, and I decide to ask them questions just to pose questions, have some chit-chat. I was chatting to a black guy from Malawi the other day. And I said to him, so why are you living here in South Africa? No, he's earning money in South Africa so he can send it to Malawi. So I said to him, where do you live in Malawi? He lives next to Lake Malawi. Alex, in Africa, we've got huge lakes. They're as big or bigger than your great lakes. They don't freeze over and they are wonderful. So I say to him, how is it there by Lake Malawi? How far are you? No, I'm like 1 kilometer from the beach. And you know, the fish are so nice that it's fresh water and the fish are even better than the fish that you get in South Africa. Alex, my head can explode whenever I hear them complaining about blacks in Africa suffering. It's the biggest load of bullshit you can imagine. If you study whites who've come to Africa, whether it's Germans in East Africa, French, Belgians, you name it, you will not believe how wealthy and lovely and how much whites enjoyed Africa. Kenya, 60,000 whites, 60,000 British lived in the highlands of Kenya. They farmed. They had an absolute ball. All across Africa, the Germans in World War I, Germans were cultivating 2 million acres or something in what is now Tanzania. Tanzania used to be a wonderful place. Germans loved it. Oh, my head could explode whenever.
There's no doubt. And what do the Jews do? They publish a very famous, highly circulated book. What was it? Guns, Germs, and Steel, trying to blame African failure of development on it being a lousy place instead of Europe and North America, trying to explain away white success and explain away white and validate black failure.
Total bullshit. But even
among non-whites, you look at Japan is not really a very propitious place for development, and yet they've developed it completely, taking a lot of our white technology, of course. But yeah, Africa has everything to succeed. The Africans, maybe they only thrive there because it took so little.
Exactly. Dead on. Dead on. Alex, these people can do very little. They are so worthless.
We got to redistribute the land, and then they give it to blacks, and total then they bullshit. Prove completely unable to run a farm. You set them up for success, they still fail. They fail on their own. They fail every possible way, so why should we give them any kind of rights or want to have them around in any capacity? They're useless. All they do is destroy and degrade and lower the common denominator we could and should be living at. And we were living at that common denominator back in like the 50s. Look at any old magazine and see how much more civilized it was.
Absolutely. Yes. Alex, just one other thing I must mention also for Alfred. Take it from me in Africa where I've lived in Rhodesia, where we've been outnumbered more than 20 to 1, and South Africa, where we are outnumbered 11 to 1. One thing I want to tell you guys, you people will not realize how much you're going to miss your own people as your own people become less, and you find yourself surrounded by all these bloody aliens. And don't believe any diversity bullshit. Don't believe one word of it. It's the biggest load of shit imaginable. That's just Jews talking their Jewish shit.
You're absolutely spot on there, Jan. And that's what I also learned when I was in prison, because the Germans were the smallest minority there. And the demographics of this whole thing, where these blacks, they just breed as fast as they can possibly breed, while white people generally don't raise children until they know that they can take care of them. But these blacks, these surplus blacks coming out of Africa into the white countries, get paid by our welfare systems so they don't have to worry about how to feed their children. Well, they have just one after the other. They have never had it so good. That is absolutely counter to the basic laws of nature, that one race will feed the offspring of another that is there to replace them. I mean, that is absolutely insane. So just alone stopping to feed them, those who come here, that alone should have them hightail it out of here pretty quick, especially when they realize how unwelcome they are.
Yeah. Something else that I just want to quickly mention for you guys before I forget it is when I look at whites in South Africa and everywhere, and people are afraid, I want to tell you something, that all this liberalism and all this other claptrap and what I'd call the shopping mall mentality, and Alex would refer to people who are vote fags and things. I want to tell you something, that once whites get to the point where they can't take it anymore and they start doing things themselves, including chasing out and destroying these aliens, let me tell you, white people through blood, sweat, and tears are going to regain their confidence. And when they regain their confidence and they understand their own power, when we can organize as groups, work as groups, and fight as groups, when we regain our confidence, we will be giddy from the lust for using our power to the maximum. Then, my friends, I want to tell you, it won't matter. The others are going to be, there's going to be a lot of running and a lot of screaming. And Alfred, if you're interested, I can send you a video. Alex, you're also welcome. There's a long video I did about Angola, about the counter-revolution. When the blacks, when the blacks tried to kill the whites, and how the Portuguese, and I mean the Portuguese are a tame people, right? How the Portuguese behaved after their own people had been slaughtered and cut up. How did the average Portuguese behave? Alfred, if you read that, you will see that what lies ahead for all these others is a bloodletting, the likes of which the world has never known. When white people finally grasp in America, in Africa, in Europe, when they grasp their own personal power and what it is like to deal with these people and to smash these people into the ground and how easy it is, I'm telling you, Jews are going to be on planes. Jews are going to be on planes getting the fuck out of here, and you're just going to see piles and piles of dead non-whites. That's coming.
Absolutely. That's the natural response. Absolutely.
Okay, well, Jan, what's going on in South Africa that people might want to hear about?
Okay, let me
anything different or new? I mean, we know it's mostly the same.
It's mostly the same, but there are a lot of things that are the same but worse. So one of them is that black communist, Julius Malema. In October, he was giving some talks to his economic freedom fighters, which is just a fancy Jew name for a bunch of commies. There are so many flavors of black communists in South Africa. They're all a bunch of commies, and they all worship the Jew Karl Marx. But anyway, Malema did an interesting thing. He was giving a talk to his people, and when he was giving his talk to his people and it was being filmed, he started talking about revolution. And he started telling them that with revolution, you need to kill. You need to kill. It's an act of revolution to kill, basically, the whites. Well, that video came out, and I've got a copy of it. You guys will be seeing it shortly. I'm going to put it in a shorter video. But anyway, there were whites who were absolutely flipped out by that, and they are taking him to court for the zillionth time. Whites have been laying charges against this Malema for the last 12 or 13 years already, where he's openly spoken about killing whites, etc. His personal attorney is the top Jewish attorney in South Africa, and he's got lots of Jews working with him. If you see any white faces around Julius Malema and the EFF, literally every one of them is a Jew. I've got other pictures that have come recently as well. But anyway, the whites reckon, well, here is film footage where he's openly telling people to kill. He's openly telling the blacks to kill the whites, and they're going to try the legal system yet again, and we will see if anything comes from it. But he's gotten away with so many things in the legal system that I don't think I will be surprised if anything happens to him. He's openly advocated genocide. He's gotten away with all of it. He got away with.
He's done that for years, hasn't he?
Absolutely, he's done
not
it
the
for,
first time. Done it
absolutely. So you know, I must tell you that Malema's name irritates whites immensely, especially the Afrikaans speakers. So if he does get off, it'll just add to that boiler. Boiler is just going to get worse. Oh, yes, Alfred, this is what I forgot to mention. Racial telepathy. The other day, I was at the optometrist, and as I was going in there, there was a white guy, and he mistook me for somebody, and he started talking to me. Anyway, as we were talking and I corrected him, he went on to say, you know, we live in this country. He was an Afrikaans guy, and he was saying, we live in this country where everything is collapsing. So I said to him, listen, man, he was older than me, and I said to him, listen, man, don't even get me started on this topic, because we'll be here for the rest of the day. This works me up so much. And then what I did was I took my hand and I formed it into a pistol shape. And I said to him that I think the only solution to the problems in South Africa is this thing. And this other Afrikaans guy said, yes, you're right. And so there's a bit of racial telepathy for you. But anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. That, and this is the these things, everyone is coming to the same clear conclusions just by seeing the world around them going into full collapse. And all these people that you talked about earlier who are committing suicide or wanting to commit suicide, that is, these are the people that we have to reach somehow before they make that last, the final fatal mistake. Because once they understand the joy and the excitement of understanding what the problem is and knowing that, yeah, we can do something. We just have to understand it and get everyone to understand it. And then you have a whole new perception of what is joy, what is fulfillment in life. And fulfillment is in life is even if you die doing this. Well, put it this way, an animal doesn't know why it dies. A human being does. And these people who do nothing and get the Jew shot injection and die from that, or get overthrown by a gang of invaders or something and get killed, they don't even know why they died. They just died. But if you die fighting for Reconquista, for fighting to regain our lands, hey, at least you had a purpose in life. And if you don't fight, then you are already dead. If you fight, you might die, but you might not die. And then you will experience joy that you couldn't even imagine until you started fighting. I mean, that's how it is.
Alfred, we have to teach people that they must live a good racial life. If you want to live a good, solid racial life. Live for your people, contribute to your people, and the European people are the greatest power on the face of the earth. And it's only at the top that it's been corrupted and taken over. When the might of the European people comes out, I'm telling you, we're the only adults in the room, and there's going to be a hell of a lot of screaming. But it's not going to be whites who are screaming, okay? Other news.
Yeah, those are well put. I mean, it's a chance to fight for an actual ideal. I mean, something that's better, cleaner, nicer, prettier, just overall more attractive. And you can't let these rotten, criminal, thieving scum win. Who hate us, discriminate against us. And even in the USA in the last week, what's the big story, Ben? Well, there's this nasty ganglion or network of Jewish mafia, the point man of which is Sam Bankman-Fried, essentially trying to destroy crypto, stealing all the funds of his investors. And he had very famous people out front, Tom Brady, our most famous football player. And it all exploded, and he's on the run. So, and at the same time, see, this is the thing. I know a lot of people want to lump all the crypto together, but Bitcoin at least is different. They are now starting trials of digital dollars. Like one of the Federal Reserve banks and MasterCard are just starting up a trial in the digital dollar. So the important thing there is, whether you like it or not, they are going to do what they're going to do and try to force everyone into the ultimate slave technology for control, which is spy money, essentially, that you're forced to use and that they control to see all your behavior and control it. So there has to be something going against that. And what they were trying to do, apparently, is destroy all the private hard money, hard cap money, and bring it all back under control the way they've somewhat done with the internet, which used to be wild and free, and now it's subject to all these hate laws. So that's a little more that's been going on in America that I think is particularly significant on this Team White. But anyway, Jan, how's the electricity situation down there?
Okay, Alex, let me just
add. It's good for a laugh. I mean, yeah. For me, it's a laugh. It's not a laugh for you.
Well, lots of things to talk about. About that FTX stuff, I was going to bring it up as well. I just wanted to – let me just add to that. I totally agree with you, Alex, that this does not affect Bitcoin because this was just a Jew crypto exchange. It was like a market, as I understand. So just because the Jew is busy running his own crypto market and abusing it and stealing it and so on.
This is a Jew who came out of nowhere. No one ever heard of him. And all of a sudden, he's a top figure. He's in all the media and all the Aryans who've been in crypto forever. And I still keep – I want to say privately, I got back on Twitter under a totally new account where I'm not going to almost post anything. But go to the noticing and see how much, because we still got the Kanye West thing going on. We had Dave Chappelle, one of the most famous stand-up comedians in America. He's also done a lot of TV. He went on Saturday Night Live, and he had to sneak his, you know, they Saturday Night Live starts with a monologue from whoever the guest for the week is. He had to sneak his monologue past the censor because otherwise the Jews probably would not have let him say what he said. And he didn't even really back up Kanye West, but he kind of did implicitly and subtly by admitting that Jews have a hell of a lot of power in Hollywood and kind of, you know, making it sound like, gee, it's kind of weird. You can't talk about them like you can everybody else. So he did a pretty good job on that. And you can actually find that online, even though it's censored some places. The way that Kanye West interview, where he said most of the stuff they don't like, is also censored, even off of Google Drive. But this is still going on. The key is to read. You don't even have to join Twitter, I don't think. Hashtag the noticing, where they're putting out all the Jew critical data on there. Black, white, whatever. But they're talking about Jews, and so far it's been allowed to stand, even though the ADL is now trying to line up a boycott of Twitter's advertisers because they fear even one simple thread on Twitter that isn't controlled by them and allows the truth about them to get out. So this is a tiny little minority. They're in a very precarious position. If we at all gain any number of people and recognize our power and do what we need to do to set things white right. Okay, and that's what this whole broadcast is about.
You know, Alex, the fact that they are censoring like crazy ought to actually wake up the last of the zombies. Because, in the old days, okay, they start with, you know, Holocaust denial, their pathetic lie. But now they're just censoring everything. And that's their downfall. I mean, and I also say this, that when you cannot see something because they've censored it, that's a little bit like if somebody locks the door from the library. The stuff is still out there. You just can't access it because of the algorithms of the search engines, or because they've mucked up the path to the data.
It's censored off all the mainstream stuff that everybody uses. If you have any idea of it, you can actually find it.
Yeah, and all that stuff is still there, and all of that stuff is going to come out a big time very shortly. I mean, this censorship is just—it's pathetic. It's infantile. It's pathetic.
I think I read they arrested Vincent Renard.
They did. Yeah, imagine that. In Scotland, they arrested him in Scotland.
Tell people who he is and what his deal is, if you know it.
Yeah, I don't know all the details, but I included him once in one of my videos because he made such an excellent summary of the Holohoax and so forth, and I used part of that in one of my videos. And he had done a lot of correcting the lies of, you know, history, like fixing the way things are reported. About in World War II and so forth, and then he had to leave France because he was being
French guy with a big family, and he's done what, you know, if you want to call it that, and I prefer just calling it factionalism, but whatever. Anyway, revisionism. He's been around for quite a while, and they've been harassing and persecuting him.
And he was doing very good videos. Like, he'd explain things like what actually happened. He'd just look at the, you know, historical events, and he'd explain it, making good videos. And of course, they came after him. Then he went up to England, and then they started going after him there. And now they've arrested him. But the fact that they arrested him, and I saw some of the publications now that's being spread around in France and in the community, basically, about his arrest. So them arresting him, what they are trying to do by stopping the spread of this information is basically amplifying it, because now we talk about, why are they doing this? Are they that afraid? Yes, that is how afraid they are. And so that's it. Like, knighted.
A point I saw on Twitter was someone said they arrested him, I think, somewhere in the UK. And the UK does not have laws against denial. But yet again, like, we see Guillermo Rudolph being harassed in the United States because of his work. There's a nice parallel there. Even where they don't have the explicit law they'd like, they still act as if they did. And they're able to use the local whites who serve them, and it's not just the politicians that serve them, it's the cops as well, in order to get anyone who tells the truth about them banned, censored, locked up, beaten up, or even murdered.
They just define it as hate speech or something. If they don't have a Holocaust denial law, they'll have hate speech laws or this or that or incitement, blah, blah, blah. It's just like in the Soviet Union, they used to have anti-Soviet agitation, and it was in a paragraph 58 or something like that. Like it's
Even if they don't have the law, they have – okay, they have hate as an addition to various crimes, but there's no really – well – I don't think there's really a law banning hate speech. You still have the First Amendment, but they successfully put across this bogus concept in the public mind. And they do this over and over and over. They take some new kind of perversion. It's always something perverse and anti-white. And they normalize it using repetition. And I saw something funny. I guess Napoleon independently discovered what I've always said, that the greatest meme is repetition. Yeah. And I saw someone said that Napoleon had said more or less the same thing several hundred years ago. And see, that's the point to why they go to the high point and they get the TV transmitters, because you got American people watching TV 8 hours a day. And people say the left can't meme. Well, they don't have to meme when they just are constantly broadcasting this stuff over and over and over and over. And people get 8 hours a day. Plus, they get eight hours in school for 16 years. And you wonder how they can sell, you know, transsexualism and chopping off kids' genitals and changing sexes on them, which they wrongly, deliberately, politically call gender. These are sick, bad, weird, nasty times.
Absolutely.
It does need to be a massive bloodletting. And I don't even kid yourself that anything short of that will do anything.
It's coming.
So we need to fill people with bloodlust, but not for shedding their own blood, for shedding the blood of our enemies, and understand who we are. That's why we call the show Team White. Your race is your team. And these people, they're not against Christianity, or it wouldn't be on the airwaves. There wouldn't be a church in every block. They're against whiteness, the white racial existence. Okay? That's who they see as their enemy. That's who they hate. Right?
Absolutely.
That's what they're trying to wipe out, us, you know, people who look like us and think like us and act like us and basically built the entire world. They want to wipe us out. don't go into, oh, that's irrational. Oh, they won't be able to do this afterward. Screw that. The point is they're trying to do that to us, and we have to fight back and destroy them. That's what all this is about. So don't give up hope. Don't be forlorn, as bad as things might be. Life is, in large measure, a struggle, as Hitler said. Well, struggle. Do your part. Struggle. Fight. That's the point of this.
There's only one law.
We can win. And if we come together, we will win.
There's only one law on planet Earth, and it's the law of the jungle. And we have done very well in working with that law for tens of thousands of years. There's no reason why we can't win in the jungle again. We've won before.
So. And Jan, you know, I always look up Urania. We've talked about that before. I know you've talked to people about that. There was construction on nearly every street. Okay, out of all the articles you can read, go to Google and look them up. That's what you come away with. Loads of people. Jan said even over 10,000, five figures, apply to move there a month. Who knows if that's true? But in any case, a hell of a lot of people want to move there. There's construction on nearly every street. What does that do? It goes right back to what Robert E. Lee said very famously. Wherever you see the black man, things are going down around him. Wherever you see the white man, things are getting built up. This is all imposed from the outside. There is not one thing wrong with white people. It's all coming against us from the outside. Intrinsically, there's nothing wrong with us. It's all from the outside, and it has to be resisted, fought, defeated, and then we will flourish again. That's what all this is about.
Totally agree. Totally agree. And it's not just from the outside. It's outside and top down. There's nothing wrong with common white people. So just
absolutely top down. Absolutely.
So just to give you some more South African stuff very quickly, black government ministers, they get even more perks than we knew, and it's all paid for by the taxpayer. Most of the taxpayers are white, and you can just see them whoring around and carrying on like the goofballs that they are. When I look at that, I just say to myself, this is so against nature. Everything that's happening is so against nature. The bottom is at the top, et cetera, et cetera. But don't worry. We've been at the top before, and we've been at the bottom before, and we're going to get right back to the top, and it's quicker and easier than you think. Another news headline, mass exodus of engineers from South Africa. Another headline for you. Here's something good. You remember the Jew Saltzman of the pharmaceutical wholesaler Dis-Chem? Well, after that stuff came out about no more employment of whites, no more promotion of whites, in a period of 3 weeks, the shares went down by a total of 1.9 billion rand, which is a huge amount for us. In your money, it would be $109 million, but that's how much Dis-Chem's shares have declined in just 3 weeks. And the white boycott is definitely on. I don't know the exact extent, but I saw one economist, Davi Ruot, Afrikaans guy. He openly said that he and his family will boycott Dis-Chem. They'll never buy from Dis-Chem again. I've made the same pledge, never going to set foot in Dis-Chem again. And anyway, I think it was a bunch of Jewish crap, because the Dis-Chems that I've been in, when you walk in a Dis-Chem, 95% of the staff are black. They're black faces everywhere. And then you only see one or two whites sitting in a corner working at a PC. Otherwise, there are like 50 staff and two are like white. 50 staff that you see, you're not even seeing the ones in the warehouse, etc. And then you see two whites. I think that Jew was overstating his situation. But anyway, the point is it's pissed people off, especially Afrikaans people, and that's excellent. And I was reading a news article where they said that this thing has definitely bitten Dis-Chem, and they don't think that it's going to be good for Dis-Chem in the future. They think that Dis-Chem's results have already gone downwards. So I'll keep you informed on Dis-Chem. This is good news. Another thing that I saw, Alex, that I couldn't believe. I could not grasp this. 3 years ago when this COVID shit started, out of the blue, South Africa imports oil in its raw format, and South Africa's got about 8 oil refineries. And by the way, we use German technology. We've got one oil refinery that is based on German invented technology from World War I. In World War I, Germans invented oil from coal. Okay, we've got one company in South Africa that's built completely on German technology. It's called Sasol, S-A-S-O-L. And Sasol is actually our biggest refinery. And in apartheid, when the whites were looking at surviving no matter what the sanctions were, their secret plan was that we were going to have Sasol creating oil for us, and we would be able to survive any oil sanctions. And the white government was even pumping oil into old mines. They were pumping millions of liters of oil into old mines so that we could function no matter what. Well, the blacks have, of course, totally buggered that up, and the blacks have used up all that stuff, etc. But here's the thing that blew my mind, is 3 years ago when this COVID shit started, all of a sudden they said that two of South Africa's oil refineries are shutting down. And I was like, what the hell? Like a whole bunch of our oil refining capability is stopped. Well, guess what? 3 years later, Alex, 80% of our oil refining capability is gone. About 6 out of 8 oil refineries have shut down permanently. And Sasol, which is the biggest remaining one, has even had to shut down part-time. So now it seems we are importing, it appears to me from the news articles, we are importing produced petrol and diesel because we can't refine the oil ourselves.
And Jan, I think that's part of the larger thing we talked about there, using these the rat poison to wipe out people, but they're also just generally trying to deindustrialize. And so when you read the WEF and the people at the very top, the globalists, who seem to treat the leaders of these individual nations like they're boys' state participants, if you know what that is, it's kind of an American thing. But if they say, okay, we want to go from 8 billion world population down to 500 million, they want to deindustrialize everywhere and really send Europe back to the Dark Ages. Now, gas refinement in the USA, I know they always say they haven't built a new refinery in a long time because it's more or less politically impossible. So I don't know if we've actually had a decline, but no doubt we are not doing. You just see the same thing in all these different countries is what I'm seeing.
Well, that
doesn't make any sense if you think, well, this industry is here to serve the needs of the population. The needs are still there, and yet the capacity to serve them is going away or diminishing or not being allowed to happen or interfered with. And you clearly see there's some kind of master plan when you see this in literally not even nation, but continent after continent. It's like they're turning out the lights and forcing people to be dark and cold.
Well, what I wondered was whether this was just more results of black inefficiency, black everything. But we are now importing the oil, the petrol and diesel directly, which itself has led to other problems. And they've said that our infrastructure is actually not built for that, and they're not even sure if our ports will be able to handle that long term. To give you another parallel, under white rule, we used to have the railway system was very key and very critical and very cheap. And the blacks destroyed our rail system. So when they destroyed the rail system, then all the heavy loads had to be moved by trucks across South Africa. And so all these heavy trucks are destroying our roads. I'm not joking. They're breaking our roads apart, okay? And because our roads weren't built for huge, vast convoys of trucks. So the one problem leads to another problem. Anyway, I sent you guys that Eskom chart that I'm sure you had a lot of laughs at. And doesn't that give you a much better perspective of how bad our electricity collapse is? So you can see that the original first electricity collapse was in 2008 and was like 470 hours. Then they kind of fixed it, and for a couple of years it ran okay. And then it came in 2015, and then it was bigger. And then it was quiet again for a couple of years. And now, if you've looked from 2019 to 2022, it's just totally out of control. That in 1 year, in 2022, we've had more power outages than from 2019 to 2021, which themselves were already all-out record years. So you can see clearly the collapse is massive. And just to add to that, Eskom had as its plan B, by the way, something about our electricity that's not commonly known, is that we've got one nuclear power plant that generates electricity, and it's in the Cape. It was originally built by the French along with some German technology. So that one nuclear power plant that's there, I actually, some years ago, I did some research on it. And do you know that one power plant, which is clearly run by whites or has got a lot more white staff because you're dealing with nuclear stuff, that power plant, do you know that its capacity has actually been increasing? It doesn't create that much electricity, but it actually is becoming more and more efficient. And I thought to myself, that must be because whites are probably mostly in charge of it. But the blacks have clearly taken over all the remaining coal generation, and there are lots of them, and all of that is collapsing. So Eskom, so nobody talks about the uranium one that's running well. But anyway, the Eskom's plan B for when their stupid coal production is collapsing has been to have diesel generators who do like backup power. So when their main power breaks, then they're going to use diesel to generate some additional electricity. But the problem there is that generating it with diesel costs a lot more money. Anyway, now with all this other capacities falling down, can you believe that 1 month they couldn't get diesel, so they couldn't do backup power? As I've said, one black problem leads to another black problem. So that caused problems with the diesel. Anyway, yesterday I saw in the newspaper that Eskom has finally run out of money to buy diesel. So there's going to be no fucking backup power from diesel. And they finally admitted, they say, oh, blackouts are here to stay. Well, that's what I've been saying for ages, that the blackouts will never go away. Now they've even said it in the stupid liberal newspapers. And a final point for you that I also saw, also just a South African madness. This is what happens when you put when you turn civilization upside down. So the people who are adjusting the best to using less power, because our so-called leaders used to pontificate and say to us, oh, well, you see, you must all now use less electricity. Well, guess what? Whites have been the most efficient at using less electricity. And just as I've told you. So guess what? Now suddenly there are whites who've totally gone off the grid. And guess what the blacks are now saying? They're saying that if you are totally off the grid and you're not using any electricity at all, that Eskom will bill you. They will bill you basically the equivalent of $200.
Like homeschooling, you're home electricing. You still got to pay the tax, though.
Yes. Exactly. So, I mean, how fucking insane is that, hey? And so, final point that I just want to tell you guys about electricity. A while back, I was looking at a really old electric bill of mine from the 1990s, and I was looking at how many kilowatt hours I was using, and then it hit me that, you know, it's as if we are using less than 10% of what we used to use. Because that's another thing that came out is we started using energy efficient bulbs. And I was checking with other people. I said to them, you know, I remember using, nowadays, our light bulbs that we use are like 7 watts, 11 watts. But I remember using light bulbs that were 100 watts. And many people used 60-watt bulbs, and I used to say, I don't like 60-watt bulbs because they're not bright enough. All the bulbs in my house used to be 100 watts, and now we're using bulbs that are 7 watts. And I think, Alex, that we are now using probably, the average white is probably using less than 10% of the electricity that we used to use. Not only that, but I want to add another thing.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and I actually wanted to ask you guys, because I actually wanted to ask you to check your electric bills and tell me how many kilowatt hours you use in a month. Because I'm sure that with your internal heating, if you have to compare your electricity usage to mine, you won't believe how low it is. But there was something else I also wanted to mention. It's just slipped my mind. So whites are adapting. Whites are using less, but the blacks need the money.
Well, you combine the black politics and then this anti-human, destroy the economy in the name of saving the environment. They basically want people to completely reform the way they live, and they have nothing but bad ideas that no one wants. They don't want people having cars or having red meat or living in large houses or just regular sized houses. They'd like to put as much land as possible off limits to humans. Of course, they themselves can't even manage a forest because it always ends up in fires. Like they burned down Yellowstone few decades ago, and they have caused a lot of problems in California by not doing proper timber management. And, you know, I was thinking the first day Biden took office, he shut down the Keystone Pipeline. So, like you were saying about South Africa, this artificially induced scarcity that forces us to buy other places. So no one's doing what they naturally should. We should be drilling and using our own oil. We should be getting, if we need any more, getting it from Canada. Germany and Europe, Western Europe, should be getting it from Russia. But the Americans blow up the pipeline and force them to buy American liquid natural gas, which has to be taken over on ships. I mean, it's utterly absurd. It costs far more, and they have no, like you were saying, they don't even have the infrastructure to handle it, and it takes a long time to build it. So these neocons are fucking up the entire world to make it safe for Jews in Israel.
Yes.
They will destroy everything else on earth to make it digestible for Jews. And that's politics 101. That's what you're never told. That's what can't be put on TV, but that's what matters.
I want to add something, Alex. There's a German I know, and he and I were talking a while ago about Germany and oil. He told me that if fracking was allowed, Germany's got tons of oil. So there's no shortage of nothing anywhere. All these shortages are artificial. All these problems are artificially created.
I think that really they need to do nuclear and just be very, very careful with it, obviously, because it's nuclear. But that would solve 99% of the problem, or maybe the whole problem.
You know, I mean, look at this in long term. When you get fast breeding, low IQ, dark skinned hordes coming into white countries, nothing we do as far as conservation goes, or, you know, holding back on what we consume will. I mean, these people coming in, they all are expecting to drive a big car, have a house, and get all that, and we pay for it all. So in the end, we have got to reconquista. We have to regain our territories and be able to survive on that with whatever natural resources there are. And talking about fracking, you know, fracking will, the long-term cost of fracking is you will absolutely kill your water supplies. You're, you know, under the water.
And
the chemicals
I've
that are in,
people claim that is fracking is very artificial, artificially created. It's not like a natural market.
It's got a very, very high price that the future generations will be paying, because the chemicals that you inject under extremely high pressure into the layers where you want to extract the oil, those chemicals, a lot of them will percolate up into the water-bearing layers with time, and then maybe in 50, maybe in 100 years from now, suddenly the aquifers will become toxic, extremely toxic. So that is, I know I was talking to an expert in the UK some years ago who came from the industry, and he was just talking about fracking, and the more you look into it, that is absolutely not something we should be doing under
circumstances. It's not economical. It's not truly a market-driven thing. There's a number of people who have done stuff on it. For me personally, I don't like to make a moral issue out of a lot of stuff like that. I think that's something that the market can pretty well sort out. You know, oh, we're running out of gas. Well, gee, you don't see that in the pump. All you see is political interference. Let them, you know, get what we don't have any problem with our car-based economy.
And a people has to be able to make informed decisions based on the facts. And since we are being fed bogus science and bogus everything, right now we are in an absolutely crippled condition, and we can't even – I mean, are people making –
What kind of leaders aren't going to let Germany buy the gas it needs to run their economy out of Russia, which has the gas? Only co-opted or completely servile, slavish –
It's the Houghton plan. It's to make Germany into an agricultural nation in order to exterminate it. Well, if the Germans are exterminated, that's only the first part of the white race. Then the rest of the white race will be an easy extermination. That's what it all boils down to.
Yeah, take out the heart of Europe, and Germans are, if anything, the heart of America too, I suppose you could
say. Absolutely. It is. If this plan were to succeed, it would be the end of the white race. But we have gone through much more difficult things in the past, and we will recover from this. One, when our people understand what has how we have been, you know, like shit in our faces, then there will be an appropriate response to get us, you know, to recover our honor and our dignity and our culture and everything, our civilization.
Yeah, our sovereignty and our
honor. Sovereignty. Yeah, our sovereignty, absolutely.
Sovereignty is political, but the honor is more conceptual, but it's still a real thing.
It's a real thing.
It's a way of feeling like, you know, we run our own lives and we run them honorably, and we have properly stewarded things for our posterity, taken as a whole, and we didn't drop the baton or anything. Well, now we're in a place where we need to fight back, and we need to understand who is causing all these problems and what needs to be done about them. And that's the entire point of this show.
Absolutely.
We're trying to show you from different points around the globe that the same forces are operating to cause the same problems with the same agenda and end state intended.
Yes.
If I may ask, Alfred, you were saying that Germans don't like to complain, which is really very much how most whites are. Tell me about the problems that you see for the Germans, because I've been reading that inflation is high, that 60% of people, I think, are getting poorer. They're using up their savings. How bad are things looking for Germany?
Well, a lot of what's really bad is hidden from view. But talking to people and just putting, you know, two and two together kind of thing, we are at the very beginning of a very steep and long fall right now. And this could be a cascading events, you know, like a chain reactions, where we could be seeing a lot of people actually dying from starvation, probably even within a year or so. I mean, it's really I don't know what the answer is. I mean, when you flood our cities and towns with these invaders and they get fed, they get everything provided for them, and the Germans cannot afford to buy food at the store. Well, having more mouths to feed in your country doesn't reduce the price of the food, you see. And then the invaders get it for free, since they, you know, the entitlement kind of thing. This is a problem. Like, this entire structure will come tumbling down. So whatever, however bad it is right now, it's going to get a whole lot worse before it gets better, because this, after it breaks down, is when the stores will start getting, you know, like they start breaking in and plundering them, which we've been seeing in the States to some degree already. I mean, this is what we're facing in all of our countries, everywhere.
And Alfred, your wonderful non-white, mostly African invaders, whenever they don't get anything the hell they want, they're also very violent about it, aren't they?
Oh, generally, as soon as they get violent very quickly, and they're united through their mosques, you know, like you know, and we are atomized, and they're united in their plundering and through their mosques and so forth. So yeah, we have a big problem. In fact, a lot of the invaders now, they look at Germans and they just say, yeah, shit Germans. They're so. But I don't blame them, because when you go someplace and participate in a feeding frenzy, and those who you are feeding, like eating up, don't even resist, you lose all respect for them, you see. And this has to change. That has to change 180 degrees. So either we do wake up, or we will become exterminated. And that time, the window of opportunity to do that is rapidly closing. This has to happen this winter. So these we're expecting heating problems, like the price of gas has really gone up, you know, the Nord Stream pipeline being blown up and all that other stuff. This is actually waking people up very rapidly. So they are trying to exterminate us all with these, you know, COVID Jew shot, kill shots before we wake up. So these are the forces that are coming, you know, to the fore right now, that are all, you know, that's all, this is breaking open. This is the disease.
Well, Alfred, the way that they look down on you, don't worry about that. As a kid, I saw that in Rhodesia. And I tell you that it's an animal thing, Alfred, is that if you don't stand up to them, it's like the old wolf, young wolf kind of concept. Yep. And they will come and they'll beat you up and they will use their stuff. And if they see that, you know, it's like these blacks. When I was doing the one video, I was saying that, you know, if blacks go and kill whites and they chop their heads and legs off, and then the blacks see that whites don't come and chop their heads and legs off, then the blacks will conclude that whites are too weak to do that, that whites can't chop heads and legs off because they are too weak. And the blacks will say, oh, we're stronger than them. And that's exactly how this psychology works. And the whole thing is that you will discover that the way that we worked with blacks in Africa, that it is the only way that you can work with them. And at a point, you have to dominate them. Either they dominate you or you dominate them. The notion of equality is total bullshit. It doesn't work, especially between races. It's actually a totally impossible construct. So if you leave them alone, they will dominate you, and they'll just get bolder and bolder and worse until you turn around and you smash them into the ground and you break their fucking bones. The only time they will say yes, sir, no, sir, is when you've broken their fucking bones. This is a fact of life. I'm not making this up. And I can tell you that this thing is coming. But if they want to test us, you're going to see some nasty things. And all this morality, etc., morality is holding us up, and the fake morality bullshit that Jews and liberals are putting out, that's just a bunch of claptrap. We're going to have to go back to the animal world, and it's going to be this wolf versus that wolf, and one of us is going to have to beat the other one into the ground. But it's very doable, and I assure you, once you've taken them and you've broken their bones, then you'll hear them say, yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir. And that's the only way it's going to happen. And when I watch the way that they treat the blacks in South Africa and in America, one of the beautiful things that I love is this: the anti-nature is these black people are getting more and more confident. As they get more confident, they also slow down and they become lazier. And as they get more confident, they make dumber decisions, but they totally believe in the validity of their stupidity. They actually think that they're very clever now, that they become completely calm while they're absolutely getting dumber by the day. And I love it to pieces, because I'm saying to myself, man, we're going to bust you up so much easier. It's going to be so easy. You're still going to be talking your shit, and we're just going to fucking roll over you like a fucking steamroller, man.
I like your phrase. What did you say? Fake morale or false moral?
Fake morality. Yes.
Yeah, fake morality. That's very appropriate, because that's exactly what it is. We have been. That's this whole indoctrination or brainwashing, whatever you want to call it, is to that. That's how the Jews do it. They screech at us from all sides, like you would scream at your dog or like a little kid, you know, do this or do that, or, you know, believe this and believe that. And that has so crippled us. But they've done it to such an extreme now that it's far easier now to come out of this completely, totally crippled condition than it would have been, let's say, 20 years ago to come out of the condition, because life was still pretty good and you're told, oh, you can't do that, it's extremely bad. But now, understanding how this you know, fake morality has crippled us, and particularly why they did it to us, that changes everything. And then the law of the jungle returns, and that is what you're talking about, and that's exactly where we will be. Nobody can take us on when we have understood what's going on here. And I say one positive thing that will come out of all of this, and I'm 100% sure of this: in the end, we white people will appreciate our race and each other more than we ever have in hundreds of years or thousands of years. I think we will regain an understanding of who we are, an appreciation for who we are like never before. And then it will be a capital offense to ever insult another white person. We can disagree on things, we can discuss things, but to have wars like where we were, what they did to us in what we call World War I and World War II, and also the first 30-year war back in 1600 something, these events will be a thing of the past. That's my conviction, that this is what will come out of this.
Alfred, I must agree with you that as much as this is turmoil and hardship, I think it might even be the best thing that's ever happened to the European people. It will finally make us all realize across the world the value that we have for each other, and where we come from and what we've done is very, very special. It's very, very special. And if you look at the greater things in the universe, and you look at the possibility of how rare life might be, we might even be the only thing in the universe, that if we do not take our civilization and our people seriously, that it's lunacy, because we live in a universe that is ruthless and brutal, and our entire planet could even be destroyed instantly. And we need to really value each other, and we are also the only people who can take things anywhere. We are the only force for progress on this planet. You can say what you like, but look at history. Our race is the only force for progress, and but we'll appreciate each other like never before. I also just want to ask a few things for Alex. I've only got about three things that I want to touch on. Alex was making a whole bunch of statements about how Jews are lying endlessly and just carrying on lying endlessly, and people now just tell any old lie and nobody even cares anymore. With humans, there is an issue of diminishing returns. And what I love, and so the more you talk your shit and the more you lose credibility, the less people start believing you. And the way Jews and blacks have carried on, between the two of them, words have lost all meaning. Words have no meaning anymore. And as time goes by, people will just see that words are spoken at high levels, and these words have absolutely no meaning whatsoever. And that is also going to be a good thing. It will bring us back to our old European values of honor and trust. Things like trust, which we take for granted, are very, very important. And it's something that we European people have that is almost unique, just the ability of trust. You have no idea the benefits that come from trust. Alex, the one thing I wanted to ask you about regarding Trump, etc., is I see that Trump is also running in 2024. And yes, your thing about the regularizing of election cheating, that was hitting me as well, that cheating in American elections is absolutely normal. It's here to stay. It's never going to go away. And Trump also doesn't look that hot to me, hey? I even wonder, you know, Trump was blindsided by the Jews in 2020. I'm even saying to myself, I can't even see Trump making it in 2024. What do you think? Not that it matters, because he's done bad things anyway. He's made the GOP multiracial, which is basically what a
cop. Yeah, I would tend to think, maybe I'm biased, I'm in the middle of the country. I'm pretty much in the heart of the people who would vote for him. But I think he probably will win. He's been slightly out of the news. He's been in the news ever since the stolen election, but he'll... The question to me is whether he learned anything from his first term. I doubt it, but you could always hope. But I think he would be reelected. I mean, they've tried to play up DeSantis and all that, but there's really no one else but Trump. The media loathe him. I think there's a genuine chance if he gets into it and truly his heart is into it, and I don't know if it is. I've seen people say he didn't look like his heart really was into it, but I don't know about that. Remains to be seen. If he truly goes for it, I think he'll win again. And when it becomes apparent, now remember, we've got Elon Musk running Twitter now. And remember last time Twitter and Facebook and all those teamed up to try to stop Trump, they probably had some effect but they didn't stop him. He did win that. Don't believe anyone who tells you that election was not stolen. It was stolen. They teamed up to stop him. Well, now the biggest platform out there that has a little bit of freedom, at least extending to the conservatives like Trump, is Twitter. Now, he is not, I don't think, restored Trump yet. The ADL specifically told him that he'd better not let Trump back on there, or ooh, they made big eyes, bad, horrible things will follow.
Oh,
if Trump at all campaigns like he did the first time, with people being allowed to support him on Twitter at least, I think he'll win. But I think there's a real chance the left will get so extremely angry when they start to realize, like, and the funny and the ironic thing will be he almost 99% will keep sucking Jew dick and Israel dick like he did the first term. So it won't make any difference. But the left is made up of people who are pretty stupid and can't really think. They're good at being weaselly and joining together to seize power and destroy things, but they're not good at thinking or they wouldn't be leftist. So I think when it starts to dawn on them that this asshole is actually going to win, and at this point he should have some kind of a team to where they can actually have enough overseers to really make stealing it extremely hard, there's a real chance he'll be assassinated, I think. But
wow. That's interesting.
They're just insane how much they hate Trump. He didn't even do anything except help left-wing causes. That's what's so funny about it.
What's really insane is when a company like Twitter can block the president or a high politician like Trump from their platforms. That is insane. And I disagree with you that thinking that he'd be assassinated because he is – he's surrounded by Jews. I mean, I think normally you only get assassinated when you really do start to try to liberate yourself from their control, like John F. Kennedy with his bill to get the American people in control of their own money. That you know, his bill 111110 or whatever it was.
Yeah, that's bill. Assassinated by Jews, but there's plenty of just dumb average street leftists who've already made a couple of attempts on lower right wing politicians. It would be someone like an Antifa who would do it.
Yeah, okay, yeah, you're right, yeah.
I mean, but yeah, this is, for the upper Jews, yeah, I don't think they would really – they're not that worried because they know he supports their agenda. But I could see some of the lower levels trying it, absolutely.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have no hopes that he's really going to do anything different. I don't see – to me, he's always seemed to me like every other Republican president. He says what people want to hear. Like I said, did I say it last time? He's got his kid on Twitter, Eric. One of his sons named Eric, who totally feeds the right wing and the white people like us everything we want to hear. But then what his father actually does in office is totally different. He lets, you know, prison reform is a typical example. He lets black criminals out of jail to go back to attacking whites.
Yeah.
And whites, they just don't learn, though. They really don't learn. They'll vote for him again, 100%, the people I see out here. But if they had better leadership, they would follow that, too. Like I said, I heard an old farmer, I just want a tsunami was the word he used, to come in and just wash the whole mess away. That's the basic grunt white feeling out in the rural America. They hate it.
Nice. Alex, all these vote fag and what I call shopping mall solutions, we got the same problem in South Africa where, you know, people wish that they could just solve the political and racial problems if only they could do it with their credit card. But all that bullshit doesn't work, and I can see Americans clutching at straws.
No, because they want to believe they take things at face value, and they can't believe. Ultimately, I really think Christianity teaches them that all people are the same on the most basic fundamental level, and that all the rest of the error springs from that, the universal equality given by we were all created by God. And I completely believe that. And that is why I go after Christianity so much, whereas most people don't. They think it doesn't matter or it's even slightly positive. But no, it's completely negative. And so they just can't believe that there is a people that is or a species that is so different from ours that it acts the way Jews do. So they have to believe that, okay, well, you know, our institutions and our ways of doing things, our democratic machinery, yeah, there's a lot of corruption, but fundamentally it works and it's honest. But no, that's not the case. And if you try to tell them otherwise, they think it's you who's dishonest and not fundamentally okay. So they don't want to hear the truth about all that stuff. But the truth is what we're saying here. It is you can't – the media turn – my God, you can't even be a comedian and tell jokes without them vetting you. So how do you think they're going to allow a major party candidate to get in there who's critical of Jews? They're not. They're going to – all they have to do is not – donate money to them and not give them any fair media coverage, and that will destroy 99.9% of the people, right? So how is the system ever going to work to get someone in to do the change? The change will only come when we have the physical ability to essentially take power, and then we use the vote to affirm our taking over and reordering the way things are. That's basically what Hitler did. You have to have boots in the street willing to kick these people in the head unless they stop cheating, because they're not going to stop cheating before then. And they're getting more brazen with each election as the demographic tide turns. Remember, we've had the border open for the last several years, and we've had more people pouring in than ever before. Yesterday, Jew Schumer was in the news, senator from New York, I think, saying, oh, we need to naturalize 11 million people who got in there because Americans aren't having – they're not reproducing and having kids. So they aim all this zero population stuff at whites for 50 years, and then they use that. They just as they do in Europe, they turn around and use that. Oh, we're too old. We need to bring in these migrants, as they always call them, to pay our Social Security and such. So there's always some BS going on. And I think it starts with a physical force, and then the what's on the streets is affirmed at the ballot box. Until then, they'll just keep doing the same old shenanigans. And even if you get Trump in again, what's he going to do different from the first term? He's going to do more of the same, almost surely. Absolutely. That's how I see it.
Yeah, Alex, I see Americans clutching at straws, hanging in there, hoping and trying again. But as time goes by, people will just see more failure. They'll get more angry. It'll come home. We must just keep pumping out the truth. That's the main thing. And just, you know, there's a lovely chapter in Mein Kampf where Hitler says, the strong are stronger alone. And he basically says that you mustn't go and make a whole bunch of political allies, because none of them are going to stand by you and they're weak and everything. And I think as time goes by, and we've also tried that shit over here in Africa endlessly for decades, and that crap doesn't work. At the end of the day, you're actually just better off alone. If whites just stick together and just work together, even if you're outnumbered, just you're actually still way stronger than the others. And I think people will just clutch at straws, but things will just get worse and crazier. And what I like about all this stuff going all wrong, as Alfred has pointed out, is it's just getting crazier and more lunatic than you can imagine. And it just goes to new levels that you can't even believe. And I think it's just going to make people just become more and more crazy, and whites themselves are going to just lose their shit. So that boiler is going to blow.
Yeah, I mean, it's increasingly Soviet or East German where you can't tell the truth about anything. I mean, even the most minor things are politicized, and up is down and black is white. And there's an etiquette that you have to follow to be Semitically correct, or else you can't even keep a job as a fry cook at McDonald's. And it increases the pressure on people. And that's where these deaths of despair, where they're taking opioids, they're taking fentanyl, is a big problem. There's more killings. There's less catching of crooks. They're getting rid of, you know, basically you can bail your way out of any crime except murder one in Chicago and Illinois next year, apparently. So, you know, it just gets more and more Thunderdome type barbaric civilization. And the costs keep going up because the money is screwed. And there's not really any good. There's just a hell of a lot of people who don't want to be really in the same in the same national family. They're not part of the same nation. They don't have a common birth. They don't have a common way of looking at things. They're not from here. They don't have any understanding of American history. They don't understand. They don't have any respect for anything that's above them because they literally are too low IQ to even perceive it or where it comes from. And so all they can do is consume and destroy. And as the whites who created all this wonderful wealth and who are generally well-motivated, as they see they can't do anything about it because even when someone's elected, my God, he can't even tweet without being banned. The president of the goddamn United States, they start to think, well, what do they think? They continue to enslave us and do all this ridiculous stuff until finally it breaks down into open war, which is obviously what it's going to take. I don't see the Jews ever backing off. They're all in. If they concede anything to their opponent, they will quickly be swamped and destroyed because they have nothing on their side. That's why they have to shut down all the speech like this, because they will be destroyed if anyone's allowed to make the case against them and the horrible things they have done for their entire racial existence. I say they've earned the racial death sentence, and it's our job to execute that sentence.
You know, it's interesting. I just finished reading a book that was printed quite a while ago, and it goes back to – it analyzes the situation going back like 2,000 years or more, and it all makes so much clearer sense. And the Jews, they knew that their behavior would eventually lead to the desire of the whole world to exterminate them, and that is the reason why they concocted this fake Holocaust, because they thought they could preempt that natural desire to have them exterminated by feigning, by making this false Holocaust and using that to make laws that we're seeing now, like Holocaust denial. When United Nations makes a law that makes all the countries in the world make Holocaust denial illegal, I mean, that is the dumbest mistake the Jews ever did, because thinking that they could get away with that one. I mean, this fundamental lie, their whole existence is based on the Holocaust. And when everybody understands what the agenda was with that pathetic lie, then they will get exactly what they try to prevent. That's the situation we have. That's the biological response, and that is as unstoppable as a volcano that's about to erupt.
Absolutely. And inside us is an animal, and that animal, I've looked at this thing of the animal inside us. Even King Frederick the Great said that inside every man is a beast. And I definitely agree. And when I look at the animal that is inside us, the natural animal that we, especially Christians, people try to suppress the animal because the animal does a lot of immoral things. The animal will kill. The animal will just go and have sex. The animal will do lots of naughty things, and the animal can even enjoy these things like killing. Killing can be enjoyable to the animal. And that when that animal comes out, the one thing that I notice about the animal that's inside us is whatever its moral faults are, because it's very immoral, the animal has one desire, and that desire is to live. It is to kill its foes. It's to either run away and save its own life, or to kill its enemy, or it's to go and grab a female and breed. And the animal inside us, that thing is there. And I can tell you, nothing can suppress that thing. When the situation is bad enough, I've read tons and tons of history, and I want to tell you, when the situation is bad enough, you'll be amazed what people will do. Even normal, quiet people in the streets will go and kill others.
Yeah, why are we allowing Jews to make every aspect of our lives worse?
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And that's exactly the question that everybody is starting to ask themselves. And when then and this fear of naming the Jew, what do you think is going to happen when the last person on this earth has overcome that fear and everybody is talking about that? Because something that becomes so irritable. You cannot keep it down forever. Sort of like if you drink, you know, whiskey and wine and or schnapps and everything, you know, to no limit, you will vomit. And nothing, you cannot stop that. That's a biological impulse, an urge. And that is stronger than anything else. You will vomit. You will throw up all over your new car, all over your new shoes, all over your new carpet. You don't care. You will vomit. And that's what's going to happen now. This is becoming so just unbearable that we will be vomiting all that which is making our lives so uncomfortable out, and we will not care what the mess will look like, because after we've vomited it out, then we will clean up whatever there is to clean up. That's what's coming. That's the biological response.
Totally agree.
Yeah, I think we've hit about enough. I'm looking at a sheet here of Biden. The guy is so much in his dotage, he has to have a sheet telling him, you enter the Roosevelt room and say hello.
I've seen that. Yeah. That is so funny. God, that is so funny. In big print, in big letters.
Like a joke. This guy is a criminal dotard, and he's head of the U.S., and they're fomenting wars around the world. It's absolutely ridiculous.
This is criminal. But, so criminal. Yeah. It's beyond belief. Yeah.
So the Republicans retook the House at least. So we'll see if they do anything. I highly doubt they'll do anything because they never do anything. But that doesn't matter. We'll see if it happens. We'll tell you. But yeah, anything else? Anything else left? Or we want to close it off there? Or?
I've got nothing else.
Okay.
I've got nothing else either.
Okay. Well, look. Thanks everybody for listening. Now we're going to try to do this show at least once a month. I'm not sure which number this is, but Jan will have it numbered and up for you. And thanks for listening. And join our social media, pieville.net, if you'd like to. That's where I hang out at least, and everyone's welcome there. So anything, but yeah. Jan, any last words?
The Holocaust. I often think about you people in Germany. How will you eventually get past the Holocaust? It's the same as us in South Africa with how will we ever get past colonialism, racialism, apartheid. I reckon that there's no easy answer. The only answer is, one, tell the truth. And later on, we'll just say things like, hey, Jew, how about you shut the fuck up and stop lying about Germany? And if somebody still believes them, then you turn around and you say to them, are you as retarded? Are you so retarded that you actually listen to a Jew? That you actually believe what a fucking Jew has to say? So those are my closing words. White trust and white honesty will eventually triumph.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, we'll do another show, and maybe you listening another. We try to do every 3-4 weeks. How's that?
That's fine.
A lot of things are going to be happening now in the next 3 or 4 weeks, and I think it's important that we do these on a regular basis. Yes.
Yeah, excellent. I agree. Okay. Take care of yourselves, folks, and thanks for listening. And
these are Alex Linder's websites: www.alexlinder.com, pieville.net. That's his Twitter type of website. www.vnnforum.com. You'll find a ton of information on there. And then his news website, which is www.kirksvilletoday.com. These are my websites: historyreview.com, africancrisis.info, and white-shop.biz. This is my attempt to try and do some Jew-free trading and experimenting with the next level of stuff. So, thank you very much for listening. We'll be chatting again soon. Take care of yourselves.